earlier in the week when Pavarotti was gravely ill, a colleague and I were talking here at the radio station, and we agreed that he was probably the most famous classical musician in the world, maybe ever. Since he died at his home in Modena, there has been no shortage of fitting tributes for the man. But I was instantly reminded of the one and only time I heard that voice in person. It was in Belfast. It was a gloomy Saturday, September 1999. Lashing rain. Security was tight at Stormont Castle, it always is, Stormont being famous more for the tenor of its political debate rather than the soaring voice of an operatic tenor. But Luciano Pavarotti was booked to sing on the grounds of that place so known for its political contentiousness. Pavarotti hadn't canceled, he hadn't even threatened to, and it was a big coup for the brand new Lyric, that was the station I moved to Ireland to join for their launch in the spring of 1999. We were all set up to broadcast the big concert live. Well, all of us who were working on the live relay waited backstage for the arrival. Some of us had been teased with glimpses at the luxurious backstage accommodations, the white leather couches, the full kitchen setup. For Luciano, there was always a full kitchen setup. Well, at about 3 p.m., the backstage walkie-talkies crackled and soggy workers snapped right into action. The man was on his way. Attendants waited with umbrellas as an official-looking Mercedes pulled up. Was it bulletproof? Then the great man himself emerged. Under cover of umbrellas, he was wearing one large floppy hat, and he himself flopped right onto a golf cart with a canopy and up the ramp into the elaborate dressing room. Gone in seconds. The next we saw of him was about a half an hour later. He was on stage, backed up by the Ulster Orchestra. He was sporting some odd fashion choices. That floppy hat was still in place, an oversized beret, really. Around his neck, multiple clashing scarves to guard against the Irish soft day. A green waxed barber hunting coat, probably double XL, over white sweatpants. His beard, hair, and eyebrows suspiciously ink black. In person, he was a weird, exaggerated presence. He'd become a caricature of himself by this point. About two dozen of us working the show in different capacities were allowed to stand quietly in the rain and watch the warm-up. All right, we thought, what will he sound like? Does he still have it? The orchestra lit into one of those jaunty intros from one of those Italian folk songs that he loved so much. Then that voice. No question, he still had it. Even in rehearsal, the voice was all the things that have been said about it over the years. It was supple, golden, effortless. Emotionally true. It really had that clean, clear, familiar ring in person. No signs of wear and tear after all those years of stadium concerts and outdoor stages, although admittedly that night he didn't tackle Nessun Dorma. We were all hearing that voice ring out in the unlikeliest of places, on the lawn of Stormont Castle, Belfast, and we just stood and smiled at each other in the rain. And what if I told you that about 15 minutes before the concert, the skies parted and the sun shone through dramatically. Would you really believe me? It happened. And then the breeze carried the smell of Italian sausages. It's true. They were being grilled by a vendor for the large outdoor crowd. There'd be no better smell at a Pavarotti concert than Italian sausages, I think. It was one of the luckiest assignments I ever had. All right, the golf cart, the backstage kitchen, the six scarves, clichés, sure. But what struck me is that night really did have all the hallmarks of the man and his outsized reputation. So if he'd thrown a public tantrum, if he'd pulled out a throat atomizer, sprayed the nozzle and went, me, 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 if he'd been eating a wheel of provolone cheese on stage with salamis hanging from that barber coat, it wouldn't have made it any more clichéd. And yet, it was so real at the same time. Those trappings are part of the experience, but the real experience is the voice, and that's what lasts. The New York Times critic Anthony Tomasini wasn't the only one who got it exactly right in his tribute. He said, "You'd never mistake Pavarotti's voice for anyone else's. It's always instantly recognizable when you hear it on the radio. And it always will bring a smile of amazement and that little head shake. How does he do that?" And it's that voice that will always be a reminder of why he was so famous.
All this week, RTE Lyric FM is giving you precious moments of your life back, absolutely free. Simply tune in to the Lyric FM program of your choice, relax, and we'll do the rest. Whether you're stuck in traffic, easing into the day, or just unwinding, you can take advantage of this outstanding offer only on RTE Lyric FM.
Where life sounds better.
Offer is open to everyone looking for classical jazz opera as well as music from the stage, screen, world and traditional music. Terms and conditions definitely don't apply.